Well, here we are, week number three inside. I'm sorry, I had to remember we weren't here last Sunday. Week number three inside of our Happy New You series. Series designed and built to equip you with the tools needed to see your 2017 goals, to see your 2017 dreams and resolutions accomplished. You know, we're in America. One of the biggest goals and resolutions most Americans have, January 1, at the turn of every new year, is the goal to lose weight. We have a goal to eat right. We have a goal to be healthy. You know, people say, I just don't want to be happy this year. I want to be healthy this year. And that's scriptural. You may remember the scripture we used in our juice series, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, where the author says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Amen. That's a good scripture. Because so often, you see, even with this scripture, our physical health, which you see here at the beginning of the verse, tied to our spiritual health, which you see at the end of the verse. They go hand in hand. Doctors and psychologists and nutritionists and the like all agree that our happiness is often tied to our healthiness. If you want a happy new you, you need to be a healthy new you. And so with that information, weight loss is a great thing. It's a powerful thing indeed. But I think it's important that we have a right understanding, a right mindset behind any 2017 weight loss goal. Because many of the motivating factors that sit behind our weight loss goals are so that I can finally fit into that dress, so that I can finally squeeze into that swimsuit, so that I can finally get these hips inside that pair of jeans, right? I mean, that's many times the motivation behind our weight loss goals. Like for me, I've always said, I just want to have a body that my boxer brief band doesn't flip over because of the blessing that sits above it. Whatever your motivation is behind your weight loss goals, it's many times so that I can look sexy again, or so that I can feel and look attractive again. And I'm not saying those are absolutely demonizing reasons and should never be an intent to weight loss, though they do sit in what I would call the superficial categories. But the real and the primary and the purposeful reasons we should have goals of weight loss or goals of physical health should be because our physical health carries with it eternal importance. Our physical health carries with it dream importance, destiny importance. Let me say it this way, with many people, and this is from my knowledge of people as a pastor and a minister for the last 18 years, full time, is when God tells a person to do something, or when God gives a person a goal, or gives a person a dream, that person so often, self-admittedly, lacks the energy to do it. You know, God told me in November of 2014, you know, I got it right here on this piece of paper. He spoke to me, man, and said, you need to get your body to a place where your health can hold my plans for you. And I had no idea in 2 months I'd be finding out that I'd be having a baby at my age. Amen. And I was like, okay, wow, you know, that God says that there's a future in front of you, and your health holds that future. Health equals energy. You know, a lack of energy plagues so many Americans. And it isn't because they work too hard. Research shows that the reason we experience a lack of energy in this country is because we don't put into our bodies the proper fuel and nourishment needed to help us feel and to help us live energized. The fact of the matter is many Americans are so physically out of shape, they couldn't do what God wanted them to even if he audibly told them to. You know, if God told you to go to be a missionary in the mountains of Tibet, where villages sit 20 to 30 miles from each other, and the path and the roads to those villages are oftentimes taken by foot. And if God told many Americans, go to Tibet and go reach that village, how many know many of us would be dead halfway up the mountain to just the first village? We'd just be left for dead, getting drug off by some wild mountain animal. You know, it's just, can our health hold the plans that God has for us? God wants, this is plain and simple, you and I to take care of our bodies. Not only because it's where we live, but it's also where he lives. Somebody say a good amen to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And Scripture says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. How many would say that right there is a powerful scripture? And I've heard this verse used so many times in the context of sexual immorality, which you see commands of sexual immorality before this verse even begins, so it's proper in context. I've heard this view so many times in the context of substance abuse. I've heard statements said from church platforms, sermons preached, saying, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. So when the Holy Spirit is in you, and I heard a preacher one time creatively say, he's not looking for roommates. So it shouldn't be the Holy Spirit and heroin. It shouldn't be the Holy Spirit and cocaine. It shouldn't be the Holy Spirit and alcoholism. It shouldn't be the Holy Spirit and that person you're sleeping with that you're not married to. Drug and alcohol abuse nor premarital sex should have no space or place rented in our bodies, in our temples. And I agree with those sermons, and I agree with those statements that I've heard from church platforms. The scripture contextually agrees with that, that drug and alcohol abuse and sexual immorality are to play no part in the life of a Christ follower. But so often what we do is we limit this scripture to just those veins of struggle. As if those, drug and alcohol abuse and sexual immorality, are the only areas we can experience struggle with when it comes to our bodies. And that's simply not true. Here's a mind blower for you. I believe that God says this right here is just as important as this right here. When it comes to our bodies. And I know that may sound extreme, because it does sound extreme. But check out this clip to illustrate this claim that I saw recently.
We have an awful, awful reality right now. America, you're at the top of your game. This is one of the most unhealthy countries in the world. Can I please just see a raise of hands for how many of you have children in this room today? Please put your hands up. Aunties, uncles, you can continue to put your hands up. Aunties and uncles as well? Most of you. Okay. We The adults of the last four generations have blessed our children with the destiny of a shorter lifespan than their own parents. Your child will live a life 10 years younger than you because of the landscape of food that we've built around them. Two-thirds of this room today in America are statistically overweight or obese. You lot, you're all right, but we'll get you eventually, don't worry. Right? The statistics of bad health are clear, very clear. We spend our lives being paranoid about death, murder, homicide, you name it, it's on the front page of every paper, CNN. Look at homicide at the bottom, for God's sake. Right? Every single one of those ones in the red is a diet-related disease. Any doctor, any specialist will tell you that. Fact. Diet-related disease is the biggest killer in the United States right now, here today.
What we feed our bodies, or as Scripture calls them, temples, are so important. You know, the temple, and I don't know if you view yourself as a temple, but this is what Scripture is saying we need to view ourselves as. The temple in Scripture was known as we've taught extensively here before, the place where the presence of God, and you see that big white building right there in the back, that's inside of there was the temple. The place where the presence of God dwelt, a.k.a. the Holy of Holies. Exodus 13, Leviticus 18, Numbers 13, Deuteronomy 2. Hebrews 4, all give description of what it looks like. If you ever want to get just your mind around what the Holy of Holies looked like, what was in it, what it was like. Hebrews 9 even gives a great description of the routines that surrounded the temple place, the Holy of Holies. But it was the place erected to contain within it the presence of God. And it was erected with great reputation, even though the temple, it was just the simple mechanism used to contain God's presence. The temple itself was of utmost importance. There were several rules that surrounded the temple in the context of how to maintain it. There were several standards kept to ensure the temple would be strong and clean. The standards of the temple were great and sacredly adhered to because its purpose was to hold the most sacred treasure on earth inside of it, the presence of God Himself. The temple was no joke. The temple was the primary focus of the Old Testament when it came to God. It's where they worshiped. It's what they did. But then Christ comes. And upon his death on the cross, Matthew 27:51 says, at that moment, the curtain, which was used to contain the presence of God at the doorway of the temple, says, was torn in two from top to bottom. It was such a moment, Scripture says, that the earth shook and the rocks split. Even Roman historians and enemies of the church hold this account claim to be true. The curtain was torn in two, and inside of the temple, for the first time in history, was exposed. And with the Jews, this age-old tradition and way of life and thinking and worshiping was rocked, man. And the question then became, what happened to the presence of God? Where now is the dwelling place of God? Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, God has chosen to make known this mystery, which is Christ in, not a temple made of mud, brick, and clay, no longer, but now a temple made of flesh, when he says Christ now in you, the hope of glory. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We, as Christ's followers, are now the temple. The presence and person of God now dwells in us 24/7, 365. So, back to our discussion at hand here, for any person in this room with a goal or a dream or a resolution of weight loss or a goal to embrace a healthy or perhaps a more healthy lifestyle, let's embrace a proper motive behind seeing those goals and resolutions met. And that motive is found in this scripture right here. This should be the motive. More than the jeans, more than the boxer brief band, this should be the motive. You know, when I look at this scripture, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. When you just look at this scripture and you were to break it down, Darren, you got these breakdown points. I mean, I find these five statements, these 5 points, these 5 truths inside of this statement. Number one, my body is a building. You see that in the scripture. My body is a building. Your body is the church now. Somebody told me one time, you've heard me say this before, but you know, when they were out there smoking, they said, I'm sorry, preacher, I'm all smoking in church. And I was like, well, wherever you're at, I mean, you are the church. So you can be at home, wherever you're smoking in church. Amen, you are the church. Your body is the church building now. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see that in Scripture, my body is a building. Number two, the Holy Spirit of God lives in that building. Number three, this building of flesh is God's property. You are not your own. That's why when people say it's my body, I'll do what I want. No, it's not. It's not your body because you didn't make it. God made you. This building of flesh is God's property. Number four, Christ spilled his blood for this building. It says you were bought at a price. What price was that? The price of the cross. And number five, you kind of see here, this building is to display honor to the owner. So let's quit, America, judging the person who has a drinking problem when we're doing our bodies an equal amount of injustice when we're at the drive-thru over at McDonald's. Because, like I said, that is just as dangerous as that in the context of the scripture. Come on, somebody. The reasons and motivations for physical health should be spiritual, not superficial. So with that, in your journey to developing habits, right, and developing routines and developing practices to live right physically, understand that getting there is a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual one. And the reason I say that is the key to unlocking a healthy lifestyle in your life is unlocked through something called discipline. And discipline is spiritual. Discipline is all up here. How many know you can't get to a dream without discipline? Come on, somebody. Your dream will not just happen for you. Just because you wrote down the goal doesn't mean it's going to happen for you. Your goals just don't happen for you. You have to trudge through some stuff. You've got to break through some stuff. You've got to go over some quitting points to get to your dream, to get to a goal, to get to your destiny. Resolutions and dreams and destinies and goals require persistence and discipline. They require it. They don't just suggest it. They require it. And discipline is a mind battle, a conscious battle for the will when you have no want. It's the mind that says, keep going, when there's nothing in the tank for you to see to get you there. Even for you and I to live this message here today out is going to require you up here telling everything down here while you're staring at the shelf full of Twinkies in aisle 9 of the grocery store. I don't know that they're in aisle 9, I just guessed. Right? It's you up here telling everything down here when you want to reach out and grab it. It's you up here telling everything down here. You will be a temple that honors the one who lives in you. For in you contains the presence of the living God, and you will live according to that truth. Scream it if you need to in aisle 9. Even if people run off thinking you're crazy, who cares? Understand the importance of why it is we're doing this. Discipline is pushing your will past the limits of your want. You ever been running before and you want to stop, but you know you can't? That's discipline. Discipline is not listening to the wants of your body, but digging into the will to move past your body's limitations. It's saying I'm a temple of the living God. Even when my body doesn't want to be a temple of the living God, discipline will most assuredly get us there. It'll get you to a goal. It'll get you to a dream. It'll get you to your destiny. Discipline, and I hate discipline. I hate the struggles that are attached to discipline. How many know what I'm talking about? Because most of you hate them as well. Therein lies the problem. Because most of you hate them as well, you are most likely not going to get there. You're most likely not going to get to that goal. You're most likely not going to get to that resolution alone. Do you not know that your, what is that word? Bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God. You are not your own, you are bought at the price, therefore honor God with your bodies. An interesting thing about these verses are instructions given in plural form. Bodies, temples. Meaning it's not just one person that's receiving it, but us as a church collectively receiving this command to live these commands out together. You see individual commands in Scripture, but you also see public corporate commands in Scripture. This is a public corporate command in Scripture. And it's important that we understand that in this context. Because for me, and I don't know if this is like this for you, oftentimes my journey, Jesse's journey to losing weight and living healthy is a private journey. Oftentimes my journey is a private journey. And because it's a private journey, the results often don't carry with it victorious results. And it's often what I would call a failure cycle, where I start out great, but then I end up back where I started. And then I say, I'm going to do it again. Oh, yeah! Oh, back to where I started. 2014, here we go! Back to where I started. 2015, back to where I started. I know you all don't struggle with that. But I've talked with people who do it, and they do it successfully. People that have a goal for weight loss, or they have a goal for embracing physical health, and they do it successfully. They do it for the right reasons. And I talked with them. I kind of interviewed them. I said, how? What? Share the process. And it's interesting. Every single one of them told me this. Two things must be attached to your journey to staying in a healthy lifestyle. Two things must be attached at the hip to your journey to staying in a healthy lifestyle. I'm talking about breaking the cycle. I'm talking where you don't end up back where you started, but you continue to rise. Two things must be attached to your journey to staying in a healthy lifestyle, to staying in the habit of eating right, or staying in a goal to embrace physical health. And that, they said, are these two things. You must have a network of creativity and resource, and you must have a network of accountability. This is what they all say, every single one of them. You got to have a network of creativity and resource, and you got to have a network of accountability. Bottom line, the key lies in not doing it alone. You need a network of creativity and resource, meaning you need to be around people that can give you the creative ideas to keep going. Because I'm telling you, we live in a world of cheeseburgers, y'all. Your pastor knows this very much. We live in that world, and we live through our taste buds. And I'm going to tell you what helps is to have a network of creativity that will show you eating right doesn't necessarily mean tasting bad. That there's a great creativity out there. Jane McCracken, stand up, Jane, our sister in the Lord. You don't get more extreme than Jane McCracken. Am I right, Tom? Tom's like, leave me out of this. Amen. The McCrackens and us, when we'll go to Dos Primos, when we used to. That was in the before Christ days. Amen. But Jane would bring her Tupperware bowl with her salad and her own special raw organic dressing and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, she is hardcore. While I'm just dominating their nachos like the world's about to end, you know? But you go over to their house, and she has the creative ability to make food taste good that is good for you. I didn't know that was possible. I was like, what? Like, it's crazy that the resources out there, just teaming up with people that do it and do it well is so important to give you the resource in living healthy. It's a network. There's a lot of great food websites out there today. Kay Glees runs in our Journey group, just a healthy lifestyle where they just give recipes. And it's really, really cool. Can somebody remember just to have Kay or somebody share that page to our Journey page, our Journey group page, so people can join if they want to? It's a great thing to have a network of creativity and resource. But secondly, you got to have a network of accountability. This is the stinky part. Because it's assigning a group of people around your life who regularly check in. Did you hear what I just said? Regularly, not annually. Regularly check in and ask, how you doing? And that's important because our personal push for progress is not meant to be a private battle. I just said something, and I pray you caught it. Our personal push for progress is never meant, was never meant, or will ever be successful if it becomes a private battle. Vulnerability is important to experiencing freedom. You'll never get free from something until you become vulnerable. Vulnerability is the key to freedom in any area. Vulnerability, accountability, letting other people in to put eyes onto the reality of where you're at, where you want to go, and help you get there. So, to boldly illustrate this, If you have a physical goal this year of health, we want to stand with you. We don't want you to have to be alone in your goal. Come on, somebody. How many know most Americans are trying to do this alone this year, and they're going to try and do it alone next year? Let's be a family and do it together. And so if you got your drop the Y cards, I want you to pick them up in your seats if you would right now. As we close here. And I want you to, if you need a pen, just put your hand up and we'll have some ushers get you some pens. We got some hands up over here. Hands up over here. If you need a pen, keep your hands up until they get you a pen. But I want you to take that card. Hand me one of those cards if you would. Get one of those cards. Everybody get a card in their hand. And in the context of what is the, if you need a pen, raise your hand. They got ushers with baskets right now. On the back of this card, as you know, go ahead and go to the next slide if you would, brother. Kind of looks like this right here. Your name, date, your plan. So here's kind of what we're looking for you to fill out. Go to the next slide if you would. This is for me, right? I know you're looking at me going, how? You look cut from heaven. I appreciate those compliments. Thank you. But write your name, write today's date, and write what your plan is, what your goal is for physical health, whatever it is. And write it right there. I'll give you just a moment to kind of absorb it, because I believe a lot of you already know it. Just take a minute. While we're writing, I want to ask our staff if they would just to come and sit up here on the front row real quick before we illustrate this. Now, if you've written that down, I want you to fold that and tear it. This is what I want to ask you to do, as I've asked you the last few weeks since the beginning of this year. Trust us with your need. Let us stand with you in this need, pray with you in this need, help hold you accountable in this need. So on the way out the door, our ushers are going to be there with baskets. I want you, if you would, just to place this card in that basket, and we're going to stand with you. And what's interesting about all these cards is you're going to get them back on the last Sunday of this year, which is December 31st. And this is a great, great finish line for you to get them back and celebrate what you did. Amen. And so on the second part, the part you're going to take with you, I want you to echo that plan right there in the line. You know, this is your plan to do it, but what is God's plan for you to accomplish it? And this is something you can't answer in this room. So I want you to go out of this room with this card and just let God speak to you as to what he wants you to do to get there. He's going to tell you to do some things. He may tell you, stop going to aisle 9. Aisle 9 does no good for you. It never has, right? He's going to tell you things. He's not going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you who to put around your life and start doing something different to break the cycle of failure in your life, if that's you. Or whatever your instructions from God are, you right in this, follow through with it, and we're praying along the way. Amen. That's what I love is what becomes just your plan, right, ends up becoming our plan, where we team with you and stand with you through what it is. And I think that's going to be a very, very powerful thing for this year. And to illustrate the importance of this need for accountability, this need for the eyes of others. Everybody say others. That's the tough part. The eyes of others to see the reality of our present, the need for vulnerability, our staff decided to go next level and let you in on our journey so that we can just say, hey, it's good to let other people see your progress. And there's power to that because it motivates you when you know people are counting on you. And so, I don't know, whatever you call it, biggest loser or whatever, but I said, let's just embrace it at a contest level for the next 6 weeks. And let's see who is the best at doing it. And let's see who's the worst so that we can expose and become vulnerable to our church. And so we're going to start with me. And if you go to me, this is my present. There's my reality. I stepped on the scale and the scale said, ouch. And I'm telling you, I have not seen 100, I've not seen the one in a long, long time on a scale. And that's a goal for me this year, is to see a one on the scale. And I believe with God's help I can get there. I believe with a team's help I can get there. Accountability is so important. And network and resourcing is so important. Amen? And we asked our other staff to kind of become vulnerable. Who do we got next? Come on up here. Who is it? Timothy Overstreet.
I know I don't look that big. But...
No, you sure don't. Yeah, well, you're good. No, stand up here. He hates this as much as I do. Vulnerability is not a thing to feel good about all the time. But it's letting people's eyes into your present. This is so important that we embrace what's happening right now. Because this contest is just to illustrate this very important truth. Who do we got next? Danny Brooks. How many know that's the old Danny Brooks? Amen. Let's welcome the new Danny Brooks up on the platform.
I was like, where did you find that?
Facebook, bro. Facebook. Where's your old picture? You know, this is Danny's reality. And this, that, no, I'm looking at the numbers, your reality right there, brother. Amen. Who do we got next? Morio. Now, you're lucky I used that picture, because I could have used that thing when you were biting that ghetto burger on Facebook earlier, man. You know, this is just what God is calling us to do. Who's next? Jake Lawrence. No, we've talked on goals and what God is saying. That's what I'm saying. It's not all just, you know, about, you know, removing the excess. It's about taking care of what it is that God has given us. Let me know what I'm talking about. Who do we got next? And this is Angel Lawrence, who weighs none your business pounds. Amen. She's out of town this weekend. She's out of town this weekend, but she is going hard right now, I know. And then lastly, we've got Deanna Parks again, weighs none your business pounds. But God's been speaking to her. And this is just kind of our immediate team right here. You know, we meet every Monday as a staff, but, you know, God's spoken to us, and we want to become vulnerable to where it is God's called us to go. That's what I'm saying. We get there as a team. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's thank God for our staff. Amen. God bless you guys. And we're going to weigh in 6 weeks from today. And prayerfully, we're not going to get to those goal numbers, but we're certainly going to progress toward what it is God's calling us to do. And that's going to be a great reminder for those of you in the room going, oh yeah, where am I at on my goals? Amen. We always want to be a reminder to what it is that God's saying to us. Amen. I want to ask our deacon teams and communion teams, if they would, just to make their way down. It all comes down to this. The motive behind it is so that your health can hold his plans. I believe so many people, the number one killer in America is heart disease, the number one killer. I believe people go to their grave too early, and there were still God's plans to live out, but we chose to live our own way and do our own thing. God's plans for you need to be held by your health. God's plans for me need to be held by my health. And let's get there together as a family. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much just for who you are, what you say to us, but Lord, also why you say what you say to us. You say it for our good.